Hello, I'm at Dunboy Castle, outside Castletown Bear, County Cork. So this is the castle which gives its name to the nearby town. This was built in the late 16th century. It's at the time that the government was establishing firmer control over Ireland. There'd been the Ulster Rebellion earlier on, and then the 1590s there was the Munster Rebellion. Of course, in the province of Munster, the southernmost province of Ireland. So the Queen of Ireland was Elizabeth I, although she never set foot here. She was also Queen of England. That's where she spent her time. And the Reformation had taken place some decades earlier. So in Ireland, the great majority of people had stayed Catholic, whereas England had turned to Anglicanism or Protestantism, you can say. So the King of Spain also claimed to be King of Ireland because he'd previously been married to Mary Tudor, that's Elizabeth I's elder half-sister, and he'd been granted the title King of Ireland, but it had been agreed that even though he had this title, he was to have no political control over Ireland. Most people in Ireland opposed the Reformation, which I never really took on, and most people remained Roman Catholics. So there's a big rebellion in the late 16th century, and some Spanish troops were here helping those who wanted to defeat Elizabeth I. I mean, had they succeeded, obviously, Ireland would have been largely an adjunct of Spain. But that might have been better, because at least the majority of people wouldn't be discriminated against by law on the grounds of religious denomination. We were largely clan society, with our chieftains sometimes fighting each other. So some native Irish people were on the side of Elizabeth I, you know, Catholic clans. The Protestant community, mostly on the east coast, particularly the northeast, was mostly English speaking. There were the old English Catholics, as they said, as well, as in those who'd come in the 12th century and were always English speaking, regarded themselves as English, but nevertheless were Catholics. So this Dunboy Castle, this was really the focal point of the Munster Rebellion. And Sir George Carew had been appointed Lord President of Munster by the Queen, and he decided that reducing this fortress was absolutely vital to his plans. So he brought in 4,000 troops, and many of them were stationed on Bear Island, which is across here. Bear Island, which takes its name from a Spanish princess. That's Bear Island. 2 kilometres or more across the water, and beyond that is the open Atlantic Ocean. Castletown Bay, you can't really see. You can see some houses, but it's beyond this promontory. So he got some cannon here. He managed to bring some here to the mainland, and he began bombarding the fortress. There are only 140 men defending it, and they're against 4,000 attackers. The defenders had a few small cannon. There were some Spaniards amongst the defenders. So they fought valiantly, but their best efforts were unavailing. They're fighting the losing battle because they were at such a numerical disadvantage and any technological disadvantage. They had hope for relief. There were 1,000 of their allies who were about a day's march away but didn't come in time. The promised Spanish relief forces never made landfall. So despite their valiant efforts, they were defeated. The cannon, within a few hours, were able to knock holes in the wall, and then there was ferocious hand-to-hand fighting as Sir George Carew's forces broke through. People retreated to the cellar, and the bit that survives is mostly the cellar. It doesn't seem like much of a castle, doesn't seem terribly impressive, but it was much larger and much taller, and eventually they capitulated, and there was no Geneva Convention back then, so they were all put to death. Often horrifically being hanged, which is a slow hanging. The short drop suggests strangling, not the long drop when people were laid out like a light when it snapped their neck. So these were very dark and barbaric times. You might say, well, you surrender, that means that you're going to spare their lives, because otherwise people may as well not surrender in the future. They might as well fight to the death, because you have some chance of winning, or even you're going to die anyway. It might be a quicker and less agonizing death, or at least have the satisfaction of knowing you took some of your enemies with you. Some men dashed for the water and tried to swim away, mostly shot dead from boats. So Sir George Carew ordered the castle then be razed to the ground, so much of it was demolished, which is why you don't see very much of it anymore, it would be much taller. He didn't want people to be able to build it again and make this a base for an insurgency in future. So that is Dunboy Castle, likely Yellow Fort, it means. And then about a kilometre behind me is Puxley's Castle, which was built in the 19th century by a landowning family who were descended from fairly recent English immigrants. They were adherents of the Church of Ireland. It was a stately home. Despite the word castle, it had no military purpose. And that was burnt in about 1920. I don't think I have time to go over and show it to you. If you read Guerrilla Days in Ireland by Tom Barry, he says how it was burnt because the Crown forces then, if an IRA attack took place, they would burn some houses in the vicinity of it on the ground that the people in that locality, they must have been apprised of the IRA's plans. They'd failed to tip off the Crown forces. It would be collective punishment, so they're just going to penalise the local community for that. And thinking that then the people would not support the IRA, would start informing on the IRA, didn't really work. And the IRA said, well, we've got to strike back. Someone who's suspected of unionist sympathies, well, we're just going to burn their property. If the property of people who are thought to be pro-IRA is burnt by the Crown forces, of course, unionists tended to be affluent, so the value of the property torched by the IRA was much greater than that burnt by the Crown forces. Anyway, and then in the noughties, they started rebuilding Puxley's Castle, trying to turn it into a five-star hotel, but 2008, the credit crunch, that plan was given up. But anyway, so I'm going all the way through Puxley's Castle. You can see what it was like, the ruins of it. And here we have O'Sullivan Bear, the local magnate. And after this, some people made a fighting retreat in midwinter, walked all the way to County Leitrim, if memory serves. You see what it was like? It was here. I mean, it was a very long time ago. It seems how unreal, but of course it was real. These people were alive as we are alive today, had all the same physical sensations, all the same emotions as we do now, could feel cold wind on their face, could apprehend everything through their senses, and they were real and they suffered. So their plaques here, in memory of Friar Dominic Collins, Society of Jesus, as in he's a Jesuit who served here in Dunboy, martyred for his faith in Yule, December 1602, beatified in Rome, September 1992. And, okay, and what do the other plaques say? In memory of the warriors who fell at Dunboy for their country and faith, June 1602, the plaque was erected in 1952, eternal peace to their souls. And, okay, so yeah, the O'Sullivan clan put a plaque up subsequently. So that is Dunboy Castle, on the Berra Peninsula in West Cork. Thank you so much for watching my channel, and do come and have a stroll around here yourself. Got to warn you, the potholes are frightful as you're driving up here. Right, toodaloo.